Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is the Song Travels Podcast. Each week on Song Travels, my guest and I share an hour of conversation and music. The Song Travels Podcast features some of my favorite moments from the interview. To listen to full episodes online, visit npr.org, and for more podcasts, subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels.
To support the series, join the Friends of Song Travels. More information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.
Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is vocalist Madeline Peru. She started out busking on the streets of Paris, but went on to gain international acclaim for her versions of beloved folk tunes and jazz standards, as well as her original songs. Her second album, Careless Love, brought Madeline to great heights of fame, selling over 1 million copies. And her latest release, The Blue Room, features a collection of hits from the golden age of country music. Madeline Peru, welcome to Song Travels.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is so kind of you to do this program because I love the eclectic nature of your career, of your music choices. I've always been fascinated by what you have recorded, the musical choices you've made of how to interpret those songs. And so it's a great joy to be able to ask you about some of those musical influences.
Well, thank you. I do like to, I think, approach my music now with the understanding that it's always been kind of a big mixed bag of stuff. Yeah. I've had a lot of variety in the music that I heard growing up. And then I think that we always tried to keep variety in the shows and the set lists that we had ever since I started working with people, since I started singing with people. And that's become a big part of my show, too. I think it's an important thing for me.
Madeline, your background with music, your father was from New Orleans?
Yeah.
And so what kind of music did he have? What was in his record collection that you heard?
My father being from New Orleans, and actually my mother
do
had
you say
records
Nolans?
Too.
Nolans?
They do. They yeah. do say Nolans, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They do. And in fact, I didn't know that because I didn't really go there until I was much older, in my 20s or so.
Did he have a thick Southern accent?
My father didn't have an accent. My father studied acting, so he liked to...
Sound like he was from nowhere?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like the nondescript accent that I'm still hoping somebody will explain to me what that's about. But somehow we have that. I'm guessing that I don't really have like a New York accent, even though I'm kind of a Brooklynite, and especially by just in spirit. But I mean, as far as my father's culture was concerned, he was from the South. He grew up in a really Southern atmosphere. He talked a lot about the civil rights movement, and the having seen the transition, born in the 30s in New Orleans. Or Nolans, as they say.
Yeah.
And he didn't have an accent. He went off to college and got really into education and ended up studying drama, getting a degree in drama, and being really interested in the theater and plays and musicals as well. I was brought up on musicals and some Broadway musicals, as much as you can know about them without going out, you know, to actually see that stuff. But watching musicals on television... And he recited things and recited poetries and jokes as well, and had little skits for us to learn, and talked about Greek drama, et cetera, et cetera. So he was very much into the theater, I guess, in every aspect of it. So he wouldn't have wanted to have an accent. He would rather have many accents, you know.
Yes.
But one thing he couldn't do was sing. And it was kind of ironic. I think he was very aware of it and... for some reason, because he felt, you know, he tried to be very multi-talented. He put on plays, directed and acted in them, and translated Molière or something. And he couldn't sing. And he also stopped working. First, he lost his job teaching, and then he stopped being able to act.
Hmm.
And I think that was a big part of my relationship to music in the beginning.
And when did you start singing?
For him and for my mom. With my mother. Oh. My mother, who also had a lot of records, she had a lot of French records. And she was interested in French culture and wanted to live there someday, which
so she wasn't from France, but she...
No, she wasn't from France.
Was interested in it. And she became a teacher of French, is that correct?
Yeah.
Huh. So you have these two very diverse backgrounds, and then the pop music of the time.
Yeah.
So all these influences are coming in, and it's very hard for me to visualize you in one place because your biography says you're born in Georgia, and then you lived in L.A., but then you had time in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And then there's Paris. And then there was – did you also go to school in England briefly or
– Briefly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I ended up just playing with the street band and traveling. And I think that I have been traveling most of my life, come to think of it. But, you know, you always come back to something. And everything comes full circle. Maybe that's what it's like with songs. I don't know.
I think it is. I think it absolutely is for me, because I'll think of something that I heard as a child and I will sing it and it becomes a song for the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it also is imbued with that history and that nostalgia at the same time. Now, Fats Waller is someone we have in common. I saw that you loved Fats Waller, and when I was a kid, when I discovered Fats Waller, that was like the heavens opening up. It was sort of like Gershwin for me because I'd never heard such extraordinary humor and spirit in a recording, the way it sounded like they were just having a ball on those records. What was your experience with Fats Waller?
Well, you know, listening to you talk about him, it's interesting because I feel like I heard Fats Waller and I was spoiled. I heard him before I heard a lot of other music. I think that my father had basically picked it out, and I recognize, as kids do, they just gravitate towards what they like, and I think I just enjoyed listening to it, so I knew the lyrics to all of his songs by the time I moved to Paris when I was around 12 years old. And by that time, there were American street musicians, and those were the kinds of songs, and that was the era that their songs came from.
Well, let's listen to just a little bit of a Fats Waller record. This is a song by Fred Fisher, which is quite humorous. It's called Your Feet's Too Big. Fats Waller, 1936, I think.
Say, up in Harlem, at a table for two, there were four of us, me, your big feet, and you. From your ankle up, I'll say you sure are sweet. From that down, there's too much feet. Yes, your feet's too big. Don't want you cause your feet's too big. Can't use you cause your feet's too big. I really hate you cause your feet's too big. Yeah.
So that's a little bit of Fats Waller doing Your Feet's Too Big, which thrilled me as a kid and still thrills me.
Yeah.
So you brought something that I would love to play because it ties into Fats Waller. It's a bit of your oral history, because it's a recording of you from the streets of Paris doing a bit of a Fats Waller song. How does this recording exist?
Oh, I have a friend who was apparently thoughtful enough and decided to record us from across the street with a little, I think it was a tape machine he must have had on. It was definitely a cassette. I don't know why he thought of doing that, but he, you know, he basically happened not to be playing during this pitch where we were basically on a street, in a walking street, and, you know, people would gather in front of us in this narrow street, so they might have been leaning on a car or something like that watching us.
Here it is, a bit of delightful history from 1991.
Good call.
That's fantastic. I know you may have reservations about the performance, mm-hmm. but it is so great because it is so of the moment and so exciting. And I can imagine the reaction of the people and the sound of the live music. It's something that is so endangered these days. There's an honesty about it, and that's thrilling.
Thank you for playing that.
You've been listening to the Song Travels podcast. To stream the full hour of this program, visit npr.org, and thank you for listening. I'm Michael Feinstein, host of Song Travels. To support this series, join the Friends of Song Travels. You can find more information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.